Está en sintonía de la radio, su mejor compañía.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Finding the Funny on CITR 101.9. Everybody listening, CITR comes to you live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people, and we would like to thank them for housing us here at UBC. And now, the moment you've been waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Finding the Fun. With your host, Nico McEwen. Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in for another episode of Finding the Funny. I'm your host, Nico McEwen, and here are some things that are happening in the news world of comedy. According to Daily Mail News at dailymail.co.uk, the Comedy Pet Photo finalists have now been announced, featuring a down pony, grinning donkey, and a kung fu flying supercat. That's right, you heard me. Thanks to social media, you can now make money as a comedian just by posting funny comments on funny photos of animals. In other news, according to CBC, Nicole Kidman wants to try more comedy. She says, "I'm willing to fall on my face, I'm willing to get back up again. They always say I'm not funny." We'll see how that turns out. So why have I started this episode with comedy news? That's because this episode is news in comedy. That's right, one of the most common ways for people to get their news updates nowadays is through satirical or comical forms, whether it be Weekend Update or Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, to a whole variety of other comedy news formats and platforms. One of my favorite news in comedy shows is Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, strictly due to the fact that they have an unbelievable research team who will go the extra mile to get the extra laugh. They do a phenomenal job of expressing the fact that since they're on HBO, they don't have any ties to networks that are holding them back from expressing any opinions or views. Even if, of course, they are holding things back, they do a great job of using the humor in pretending that they don't. Before we play our content, we here at CITR would like to let you know that we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit. This may be content that is inappropriate for some listeners. We ask you to tune out and tune back in to a later program. Thank you. Without further ado, this is Sex Education from Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Sex education, the conversation that animals in zoos refuse to let you not have. Now, with some kids going back to school next week, it is guaranteed that at some point over the next school year, you'll hear stories like this.
Local parents are outraged tonight over the pictures that their children saw in sex ed class.
Some parents say that the material, which includes descriptions of sex acts and infections, is simply too graphic for middle schoolers.
A father is upset after his 13-year-old showed him a poster hanging on a classroom door, a poster listing sex acts.
Parental anger over sex ed is as much a staple of the school year as square pizza and one kid coming back from summer vacation with a mustache he's way too proud of. That's a ghost mustache, Lewis. It looks like a real mustache died on your face. So we tried this week to find out what sex ed looks like in America right now. But that turns out to be a surprisingly difficult question to answer. Now, in the past, depending on how old you are, sex education may have been little more than watching films like this.
Every so often I get a strong sex urge, and the only way I can take care of it is to masturbate.
George, I'm really pleased that you can tell me about this. Perhaps it's because we've known each other for so long.
My name is Johnny Stanton. For me, it all started when I went bowling with Judy today. I should have known something was different as soon as she got a strike. She's usually such a rotten bowler.
So what's so different about you?
I got my first period today.
Well, what's the big deal?
It means that blood is flowing out of my uterus.
What? Okay. First, that is some incredible misinformation. Menstrual blood is not some sort of uterine HGH that makes you amazing at bowling. And second, and this is true, the young man in that video is Jonathan Banks, Mike from Breaking Bad. And if that video does not provide the basis for the prequel to Better Call Saul, I'm going to be extremely disappointed. Teaching sex ed in schools is really important for obvious reasons. No parent wants to talk to their kids about sex, and no kid wants to talk about sex with their parents. That is why, when you're watching a movie together and there's a sex scene, everyone becomes motionless and silently begs for the merciful release of death. And kids have good questions that need good answers. The Times recently ran an article with a slideshow of questions kids wrote on cards to a sex educator, including, why is the boy's penis shaped like an arrow? Is it okay to be gay? And how long do I have to wait to have sex? I'm excited. To which the answers are, it's engorged with blood, yes, and can you at least wait until the end of class?
So once again, that was Sex Education from Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. I chose that clip, one, because it has 14 million views on YouTube, which just goes to express the mass fan appeal that news comedy now has. As well, I chose it because I think it really is a wonderful topic, especially to be discussed at a university where sex education, I think, is still important, and especially because a lot of us still remember those sex education classes from end of elementary school, early high school. The thing I like most about John Oliver is that while watching his show, you know that he understands that the laughs are important and he is a funny person, but he never breaks from the fact that he is trying to express important news topics and that he wants to get information out to the public as best and accurate as he can. From smaller jokes like the one about the animals at the start to longer jokes like the one about the actor from Breaking Bad, I'd say about 40% of the clip was jokes and about 60% was news. I think this is a good ratio because any more comedy and you start to dilute the news, and any less comedy and it stops being a comedy show and starts to become a show with journalism. In an interview with New York Times' David Carr, John Oliver said, "We are making jokes about the news, and sometimes we need to research things deeply to understand them, but it's always in service of a joke. If you make jokes about animals, that does not make you a zoologist. We certainly hold ourselves to a high standard and fact-checked everything, but the correct term for what we do is comedy." This is where I find that news comedy shows go awry, whether it is by going too far into the news aspect and losing their comedy background, or if they rely too heavily on their jokes and aren't fact-checking, aren't depending on the fact that news is still an important subject. We live in a time where social media makes it possible that pretty much everything and anything is news in one way or another. But the one thing I like about Last Week Tonight and other shows of its style, like Stephen Colbert when he had the Colbert Report, and Jon Stewart when he had that, which is now hosted by Trevor Noah, with The Daily Show, I felt like those shows really understood the fact that people aren't going to keep tuning in if all of your jokes are about meaningless news. It's best if the jokes are about news that actually matters, is actually affecting the real lives of everyone. Of course, you'll have some throw-ins where it's just too funny to pass up, even if it is smaller scale news, but I really love when they're able to take the important stuff and find their funny twists on it. And now a quick ad from our sponsors. Ladies and gentlemen, your UBC Athletics are going to be back and better than ever this coming 2017-2018 season. For all of your sports, we have basketball, volleyball, baseball, football, soccer, everything you can think of. UBC has a sports team for it, and you can buy birdcage passes anytime, anywhere, and get a birdcage t-shirt. As well, you can listen to UBC Athletics right here on CITR 101.9. Hey there, everybody. We are back. And that last clip we played was from Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. To continue our episode of News in Comedy, we'll be listening to Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update.
What's up, everyone?
Welcome to Weekend Update. I'm Colin Jost.
I'm Michael Che, and here are tonight's top stories.
The state's attorney in Baltimore announced Friday that charges would be filed against six police officers in the death of Freddie Gray. It's a vital and important first step on the path to those officers probably being acquitted. A state of emergency was declared in Baltimore after protests turned violent and turned into violent rioting, but no deaths were reported, meaning the riots were still far less dangerous than the backseat of a Baltimore police van.
Former Ravens linebacker Ray Lewis spoke out against the violence in Baltimore, saying violence is not the answer. Unless, of course, the question is, what made Ray Lewis super rich? Due to the rioting in Baltimore, Wednesday's Orioles game against the White Sox was closed to the public and had zero fans in attendance, which was probably a good idea since Wednesday was Cal Ripken Molotov Cocktail Day. During the Supreme Court hearing on the constitutionality of gay marriage, Justice Samuel Alito asked if homosexuals are allowed to marry, what would happen if a group of two men and two women tried to apply for a marriage license? Well, Sam, I'm no legal expert, but they'd probably tell them no, because that's polygamy and it's illegal, and also not at all the same thing.
Apple reported earnings of over $194 billion this quarter after the company sold more than 61 million iPhones. And not to be undone, Samsung is also a company. It was announced this morning that Prince William and Kate gave birth to a baby girl weighing 8 pounds, 3 ounces. So she's only a day old, and all anybody can talk about is her weight?
Abercrombie and Fitch has announced plans to no longer hire employees based on attractiveness, which should make the first new guy they hire feel great. In an interview with Diane Sawyer last week, Bruce Jenner revealed that he self-identifies as a woman. It was a moving and brave interview, and obviously this is a delicate subject to talk about. But as a comedy show, we still need to make jokes about it. So here we go. The thing with Bruce Jenner is, and like I said, he's brave. And Michael, you want to jump in here?
Nope.
Okay. So, there's one thing, and actually Michael and I were talking backstage.
No, man, that was just you.
Okay. And here's the thing. I just feel like any way you slice it.
Do not say slice it.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay. Actually, I think it's maybe better even just to,
Move on.
Move on.
Yeah,
back to you,
on.
Michael.
Thank you. The first...
Get to something less chilling. The first museum in America dedicated entirely to slavery has opened on a former sugar plantation in Louisiana, said one museum employee. Help! This ain't no damn museum!
So that was SNL's weekend update. As you can tell, quite different from last week tonight with John Oliver. They are covering a lot of different news topics with what are typically one-liners. Sometimes they'll do a longer segment or have a guest to advance the jokes, but usually it is the format you just heard, which is just, here's what's happening in the news, here's the punchline. As a writer, I think it would be more fun to work for a show like SNL with their weekend update team, just because you get that sense of new idea and creativity with each different joke you can use. You have so many that you're pouring out there, and you get to try them in dress rehearsal and see how they go. Whereas last week tonight with John Oliver, you centers in on one topic for an entire episode or for an entire part of an episode, I believe. So if you don't necessarily like that topic, that whole week of writing won't be as enjoyable for you. Whereas with Weekend Update, you have a bit more freedom. I'm not certain which format I think is harder for the comedian that's telling the jokes, because one-liners are so dependent on timing and delivery, and of course the main traits of a good joke. However, with John Oliver's show, I feel like there's a bit more leeway. If you make a mistake with a joke, it doesn't have the same effect, because they're not one-liners. They're more of a long-stay joke that's going to come back later or will be used in a different sense. Ladies and gentlemen, a friendly reminder that if you are enjoying today's episode of Finding the Funny, please follow us on Twitter and feel free to comment any thoughts you have on today's episode or any questions you have about what we do here at Finding the Funny. Our Twitter handle is at One Man One Show. The final clip of today's episode for News in Comedy, we will be showing off a bit of Canada's ability to play in this field, but that will be right after this ad from our sponsors. The UBC Calendar is a proud sponsor of CITR 101.9, and we are your proud destination for all things party here at the UBC campus, hosting amazing events all year long. Make sure you check us out on social media, UBC Calendar. We have great events, often hosted by none other than Kerner's Pub, so feel free to check us out and come to one of our awesome times. So, our final clip is actually from a fake news network. I do want to address fake news networks because they do still have a place within the world of news in comedy. I'm not as big a fan of fake news networks just because I prefer learning a little bit of something while I'm watching comedy news. However, that said, they still do some very funny material, and this one is actually a Canadian show and Canadian news network, one that I auditioned for. This is The Beaverton with one of their podcasts and a panel of comedians riffing on things in the news.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Beaverton Weekly Report, the show where I bring together some of Canada's finest comedians and writers to riff on the news of the week. Then at the end, we're going to do a little quiz where I put their knowledge, skills, and very Canadian-ness to the test. It's just like watching Power and Politics, in that I am also secretly exploiting my position to sell very expensive art to my friends. And with that in mind, let's get into the Beaverton Weekly Report for July 26, 2017.
Just watch me.
Sunny ways, my friends. Sunny ways.
Got more than enough to eat at home.
Something you might not know about me is that I love movies and TV shows.
The Beaverton Weekly Report with Luke Gordonfield.
Welcome to the show, everyone. We have an absolutely awesome panel for you guys this week. Up first, she is a writer on the Beaverton TV series, as well as creator of the upcoming hit web series. Yeah, I'm calling it a hit before it even comes out. How to Buy a Baby. Wendy Littner is here.
That's so nice.
Thank you, Wendy. I was trying to be nice. Also on the panel this week, he is a Beaverton website writer, host of the Confederacy of Dunks podcast, and an all-around solid basketball player. Kevin Dowes is here.
Thank you. You flatter me for my basketball skills. I will take it.
Yes. Well, it was flattering, but I think it was true. I think you're a solid. You know what I mean? You give a lot of hustle.
All right.
You knock down the shot when you get it at the elbow, and then we go from there.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
What about my basketball skills?
You know what? I think you're really up and coming, and I think if you just get your vertical up a little bit, we'd be really in good shape. For those listening at home, Wendy is 7 feet tall. Guys, let's dive in. We have a special two-person panel, three if you count me, but I never do. Two-person panel this week. Let's dive in. Up first, we got to do a little bit of a recap of all the Russia stuff that's happened since the last time we put out an episode. I feel like the Russia-Trump story, is becoming kind of like lost. Like back in the day when we were just kind of waiting for answers and we were sure that every week was the week we were finally going to get answers, and the writers would just be like, nope, it's just 45 minutes of people talking. See you next week. And you're like, shit, all right, but I'm coming back. And then eventually we found out we were all in purgatory the whole time.
Yeah,
that's what this is going to be. So obviously, as we know, I think the most recent development is the Jared Kushner testimony. There have been a few other developments I want to highlight with you guys. One thing that actually went underreported, which seems impossible in this kind of day and age, Trump's repeated insulting and mockery of his attorney general, Jeff Sessions, which, in addition to the fact that he's Trump's guy, he's Trump's appointee, like, Jeff Sessions is like a Trump loyalist from, like, back in the day. Like, he's an OG Trump guy. Like, way before Trump had his breakout hits with, like, all Mexicans are rapists and grab her by the pussy, like, he was fully ride or die for Trump. And now immediately Trump is throwing him under the bus. It's like Trump said he never would have appointed him if he knew he was going to recuse himself. And he called him beleaguered today on Twitter, which is pretty fancy insult for Trump. I'm not going to lie. But I think
he doesn't know what it means.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he was just like, he just started typing and somehow he stumbled into a word. And he's like, sweet, yeah,
yeah,
that works for me. I guess this is all because Sessions, who, it's worth pointing out, is a truly despicable person. I do not want to suggest we are defending Jeff Sessions on this podcast, because he did one honorable thing and he recused himself from the Russia investigation only after it came out he perjured himself, of course, at the confirmation hearings. But he did an honorable thing and was done. I want you guys to weigh in on this. I assume this is part of Trump's strategy, to the extent you can call it a strategy, of he knows he can't fire him, so he just wants him to quit under the pressure of being mocked, I guess.
Yeah, I think that it seems like his general strategy is to distance and ridicule and mock and just generally make life difficult for anyone he doesn't have use for anymore, because I think he's got to the point where he can't be dismissing people. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, like, if he were, and I mean, we say can't. I mean, obviously Trump can do whatever he wants in the sense that he will go to places no one else would go to.
Wow, so after listening to that clip from the Beaverton, I guess I can't say it is entirely a fake news network, although I know they do fake news in general. This was more of some analysis, I guess, from a group of comedians based on the news. That's one thing I don't particularly love, is the idea of riffing, just because, like you heard there, that was maybe 10 to 20% jokes, because they're coming up with stuff on the spot based off what they're talking about, and there was some funny stuff there, but it was mostly just them talking in general about the news. I think that's a really hard line that shows are trying to deal with now, because being in a writer's room, you do a lot of amazing riffing, and you sometimes get the funniest stuff that you'll never be able to recreate, just because of how naturally and organically it came up within the conversation. That said, I don't think airing riffing is necessarily the best idea in most circumstances. You also heard a lot of promotion for the Canadian comics in that panel. I do love that Canadian comics are getting to promote themselves because of this Canadian content, although I don't know if the way they went about it was necessarily the best. Just because back when I used to watch, I don't know, The Daily Show, and he would have a guest on, the intro for the guest would be quite basic. That is just their promotion, and we're about to get into the funny conversation or serious conversation that's going to take place. Whereas they made jokes within the intro, which is a nice personal touch. It does acknowledge that the host of the show knows these comedians, although I don't know if that's necessarily where the humor needs to be coming from. That said, I do want to talk about the fact that this is from a podcast, which is quite different than the video news in comedy that I was playing with the earlier clips. Podcasts in general are meant to be more of a fly-on-the-wall approach, which is something I love and hate about podcasts. I don't really understand how people can like listening to a group of people just talking to each other with no real direction. So with all that said, as proud as I am that we do have Canadian comedy networks and Canadian comedy news programs, I do think they're still a bit of a ways away from perfecting their craft, or possibly a better way to put it, finding their style. Ladies and gentlemen, we are already running out of time here on Finding the Funny on CITR 101.9. A huge thank you to everybody listening right now. Make sure you check us out on Twitter. And keep listening to CITR 101.9. We have lots of great programs coming up next. At 7 p.m., you can listen to Exploding Head Movies. Join Gak as he explores music from the movies, tunes from television, and any other cinematic source, along with atmospheric pieces, cutting-edge new tracks, and more. Exploding Head Movies at 7 p.m. right here on CITR 101.9. UBC, we are almost at that time of year where we are going back to campus. I cannot wait to be creating more shows right here on Finding the Funny, and I thank everybody who's been listening and who continues to listen, as well as all the new listeners. Please keep tuning in Monday nights, 6 o'clock to 6:30 for Finding the Funny, because we are only getting better and we have a lot of great content coming up. One last thing I want to throw into the end of today's episode. Recently, I was discussing stand-up comedy with a man I met at Shaughnessy Golf and Country Club. Mr. Yu, he was telling me about the new wave of comedy in Hong Kong, and it was a really interesting conversation. He was telling me about a few Indian stand-up comedians in Hong Kong who are now finding a new audience for their fish-out-of-water approach, and one of which was discussing with this man, Mr. Yu, coming to UBC to study his comedy and to grow his abilities within the stand-up world, which I thought was really cool and really fascinating. And it reminded me that I should be advertising some of the awesome UBC-related stand-up comedians that we have, one of which, a good friend of mine, Bradley Fung, who you probably know from the UBC calendar. I'll be playing a clip of his from a recent performance he did in a following episode as well follow on Instagram, Chuck of the Sea. For any of you that don't know Chuck of the Sea, that is UBC Creative Writing for Comedy Professor Charlie Demers. And he is a Vancouver stand-up, a Vancouver comedian, and an all-around Canadian comedian involved in a lot of what we have going on here. So if you're ever looking to break into comedy, I can't think of anyone better at UBC to discuss the topic with and possibly help get you involved. To everybody listening, have an awesome rest of your day, and as always, keep on laughing.
Tune in to African Rhythms every Friday from 7:30 to 9 o'clock with your host, David Love Jones, as he plays a heavyweight selection of classics from the past, present, and future. This includes jazz, soul, hip-hop, Afro-Latin, funk, and eclectic Brazilian rhythms.
Lots of people, they take it like a game.
Oh, y'all niggas killers now.